the Rio Summer Olympics almost 2 years ago. One of my favorite races are the relay races. I love the Summer Olympics much, much more than Winter Olympics. The rest of my family, all girls, love the Winter Olympics much more. I see ice dancing and I just, it turns my stomach. But I see relay races and I think, you know, this is what it's all about. This is what I enjoy. Anyway, the relay race of 2016, the United States in the 4x100, it was a great race. Now, the Jamaicans win. They always win. I mean, when Usain Bolt is on the team, he doesn't need any help. He could just run the whole thing by himself, hand it off to himself and go on. He would beat everybody. But the United States, if you remember, came in third. And that was the first time they had been up on the medal stand since 2004. But while that was going on, the guys in the back were looking at videotapes. And they saw the tape, and this is what they said. The USA has violated Rule 170.7 of the IAAF handbook, which states that, quotes, in all relay races, the baton must be passed within the takeover zone. In short, the team made an exchange violation in its first handoff, with Gatlin reaching back toward Mike Rogers and touching the baton outside of the legal zone. So they were disqualified. But in relay races, I ran in one relay race when I was a kid. And after that, when our team finished fifth, the coach felt like it was probably not advisable to include me on the relay team anymore. But I just loved the relay race. We practiced it. We practiced the handoff and getting the baton. And it's, you know, other than just pure speed, the most important thing in the relay race is what? Passing the baton. The main thing our coach used to tell us, I remember, he said, you would practice and practice and practice, but do not drop the baton or I will kill you. And that was back when coaches could get away with that, right? And they meant it, you know, right? And so I was so afraid that I would drop the baton. I think I basically stood there and waited till I got it and clutched it and then turned around and ran, which, of course, all the other teams were way down the track by then. And it's just today we're going to read about somebody who dropped the baton. And I want you to think about the baton today while I'm teaching. Now, my nephew, Sam, where my wife still is up staying with them while she visits her mom. He has a little shop, and I told him when I was teaching about Sunday, I try to teach him so I can sort of witness to him without him knowing it. And so I was talking to him, and he said, I'll make you a baton. So these are handcrafted batons, really, at the regulation 11 and a half inches. But with a difference, there's a cross in that he put in the middle of both of them. So we're going to talk about passing the baton today. And I'm going to give each one of you a baton, or each side a baton. Hang on to it for a second. And I want you to think about passing the baton. And I want you to, every person, I want you to take it and just pass it around as through the lesson. And I want you to think about, who passed the baton to me? Now, you let your imagination go. I'm not going to define it any more than that. I thought of specifically a couple of people that passed the baton to me. One as a unit, my parents passed the baton to me in certain areas. I think they passed the baton of, it's important to have character. They pass that baton, and it's important to come to know Jesus at an early age. They passed that baton. They made sure that I had received that baton, and then they asked me to pass it on. And then my youth director, when I was 16 years old, who spent time and helped me learning about what the Christian life was all about, he passed that baton on to me as well. So that's the two people I remember passing the baton to me. I want you to think about the baton, and I want you to think about, who am I supposed to pass a baton to? Is it your kids? Is it your grandkids? Who is it? Think about it. For most of us, one of the most immediate thoughts that come to mind is the grandkids. And I've thought a lot about this lately, passing my baton to a grandchild. And we have a living example here with us today with Cameron. But maybe it's someone else. I don't know. So think about who you want to pass the baton to. And then I want you to think for just a moment about, what are you supposed to be passing? What do you want to pass on? It's so important to do it in that, you know, you've got a certain amount of feet, right? They mark out the lanes. If you have a lane, right? You have an oval track, and you have a lane, and all of these different lanes, and you've got this area right in here to successfully pass that baton. So your lifespan is that area. You've got that to pass your baton. You don't know when that, the only thing is, you don't know when this is, right? You don't know when that comes, but that's all, it's going to happen at some time where you're not going to have the opportunity to pass the baton, so you've got to do it, and you don't want to drop the baton. We're going to read about somebody who did. Read about Joshua, who did pass the baton. So chapter 23, the final two chapters of Joshua, this Sunday and next Sunday, are all about his final two sermons and his message to the people that he's been with for all these years, right? And so he presents two scenarios, his farewell messages, and they're pretty straightforward. In chapter 23 and chapter 24, he says, obey the Lord and he will bless you and keep you in the land. They've come to the promised land, they're there, and he said, I'm going to pass a baton off to you guys, and he's speaking, we'll see it in just a second. He said, obey the Lord, he'll bless you. Disobey him, he'll judge you, and he'll remove you from the land. Now, some people say, well, the Bible is just way, way too complicated. There's no way. That's pretty clear. You do what I tell you to do, you get to stay and enjoy the land. You don't, and you're not going to get to enjoy the land. So that's his two messages summed up. Now, that's the terms of the covenant that God made with Moses on Mount Sinai. He said the same thing. And when Moses died, right before he died, this is right before Joshua dies, right before he died, he said the same thing. Let's look at what the key messages are of this farewell address that Joshua gives. All right, so let's go to chapter 23, and let's start at verse 1. Now, I'm not going to read all of this chapter, but I'm going to read some of the important things. These are the four key messages in this chapter. And the first one is the responsibility of the witnesses. Verse 1, now it came about after many days when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old. It says he was 110 when he died. So this is sometime right before he died, and that's chapter 24, verse 29. At the end, you'll see he was 110. He was advanced in years. Number 2, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, their heads, and their judges, and their officers. So who's he got here? He's got all the leaders, right? So he got all the leaders, calls them together, and really a message to all of Israel, but he's got all the leaders together, and he said, I am old, advanced in years. Verse 3, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. He said, now, you've got a responsibility. You're witnesses. You've seen this. You've seen all of these great things. You've seen Jericho. You've seen all the battles of, you saw what happened with Achan at Ai, but then you saw he came back, and then And he goes on and on. He says, you see all these great things that God's done for you. Just like he said, he opened after you got out of the wilderness, he opened the Jordan. You walked right across the Jordan on dry ground. You saw all these miracles. So now, I want you to remember that, and I want you to tell people about it and pass it along to the next generation. That's his baton. So he said, now if you turn over to chapter 24 in verse 31, it's important to remember this. And many times we just skip over this, but this is important. Verse 31 says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua. And he had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Some of these guys he's talking to are going to outlive Joshua. And it appears they outlived Joshua, and that generation looks like they did okay. He said, okay, you're responsible to urge Israel to be faithful, to complete, this is important, to complete the total occupation of the land. They had not totally occupied the land. They had not driven out all the bad guys. He said, you know, this is going to be a problem later on if you didn't drive out all your enemies. As a matter of fact, that lays the foundation for the book of Judges. The whole book of Judges is because, you know, they're still driving people out and still having problems. And it seems like they were diligent to pass along the baton. But go to the next book, Judges. Go to Judges chapter 2. Let's see what happens. Look at verse 10 of Judges chapter 2. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them. Now listen to this. Who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. My interpretation is that somebody dropped the baton. Didn't hand it off. And it goes on, it just says Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They served the Baals, the false gods. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land, followed other gods, and bowed themselves down to them, and he provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtaroth. So you go from this generation, and you hope that this group of people passes on and the baton, and it looks like that generation that was there at that time, for the most part, followed the Lord. But the next generation, it falls off a cliff, just like that. Let me say this, and I'll move on. Passing along the baton, the testimony of what God has done. So, you know, I don't want to be too symbolic in what I'm saying. Passing the baton is giving the testimony of what you've seen God do and what God has done in your life. That's what passing the baton is. If I'm passing the baton to my grandchildren, then I'm showing them what God can do. Now, I'm not saying this for my edification, my glory, or anything about myself. I just want to give you an example. I determined 3 years ago that I needed to find something in addition to the daily prayer and love and care that we had for our grandkids and for Jesus and what we were trying to do in our life. And I said, I want to find something else that would show them and demonstrate what God can do for them. So I said, I'm going to take you to the mission field so that you can see people coming to Jesus, receiving him, and changing their lives, so you can see what it means to help people who have needs, who have physical needs and spiritual needs. But passing along the baton, let me say this carefully. It's giving testimony what God has done and will do. It will not guarantee the faithfulness of the next generation, but not passing along the baton will guarantee the unfaithfulness of the next generation. I don't mean for that to sound deep, because you know I'm not a deep thinker, but that's really what I think. You put all of this legacy issues that we talk about, we work on, especially as grandparents. We talk about our, as parents or as anyone that we're passing along the baton. We can, because free will enters in, right? Our responsibility is not to make them Christians. I can't do that. I can pass along what God has done and what forsaking God will do in their life. That's my baton to pass along. If I don't say anything, I can almost guarantee, though, that they will not move along as a faithful generation. That's what happened here. And I'm just using a biblical example. All right? 78. I've got it up on the screen so you can just read along there if you want. This is a parents and the grandparents. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. That is passing the baton. About his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. So that's passing it along. All right, let's go back to the second message. The encouragement to remember. Look at verse 4. See, some of you will have see, others of you will have the word remember. I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribe. So he said, I've done all this stuff. And all the nations that have been cut off, all the victories and the battles that were won. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you. And he's saying about the future, God's going to continue to do this. He will thrust them out before you and drive them far from you, and you will possess the land just as the Lord your God promised you. So he says, remember what I've done. Remember what, since I've done that, this is what I'm going to do in the future, because based on my word, this is what I told you I was going to do. And this is all the assurance you need to be faithful and to stay faithful to me. Just remember what God has done in your life.